much. Appreciate you moving that out of the way so I don't fall over. It's a problem with these cords, amen? Would you open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter number 1. I thought about, as I always do at this time of year, about the messages I would bring concerning the advent of our Lord. He came into this world, and most of us have heard it before, but I was reminded that there are some who are young, haven't heard it all, and most of us who are older need to be reminded anyway, because as we go through the years, the things get busy and other things distract our attention, and it's good for us to rehearse the very important fundamental things of our faith. And here in Luke chapter 1, we're reminded of several things. I want to notice as we read through these verses how God put it all together to bring our Savior into this world. By way of introduction, I'm going to notice that he used a man, God's servant Luke, to record part of the story here in chapter 1. He used some old folks to surprise everybody about what could be done in God's power. And then he used some young folks to do the impossible, to bring forth God the Son in human flesh without a human father. But in all those people's lives, God revealed himself to them and his plan, and they received it. They accepted his direction in their life. So by way of application, as we come to the end of the message, I would encourage us to consider, what is God revealing to us in our life, and are we willing to accept it and live for him as they did? Chapter 1 begins, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all the things, of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." This preface to the Christmas story, often omitted in our readings, is very important, for it illustrates to us and emphasizes the authority of God in the story. Luke is a human man. He's been given by God the ability to write most perfectly everything that God would have put in. That's the doctrine of the inspiration of the scriptures. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Everything we need to live for God in this world is in the Bible. Think of that. It's complete. It's without error, of course. It's without confusion if you read it by the Holy Spirit's guidance. But it's everything God thought we needed to know. It's not everything that a lot of people want to know. There are a lot of things they question. Well, what about this and what about the other? Says, I don't know. But God wrote down what was important. And those things that are declared here, he says, I want to remind them because he had been given that perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Now, he wasn't there, but God, the Holy Spirit, inspired him, gave him the words to write. It says again in Peter that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He wrote down the very words God would have him to write for us. So he begins here that this man, Theophilus, a lover of wisdom, that's what his name means in their language, that they might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Aren't you glad we have a more sure word of prophecy? The word of God was written down and passed down through the ages. It's been preserved for us today. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. They were both now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn the incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak till the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and he remained speechless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I'll stop my reading there and note several things here. We see these events took place in time and history, as indicated. It was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, and these were real people and real lives. Some have tried to say, "Well, the Bible's full of just stories." Well, they're based on the truth, because God told us it's true. And the historical references can be borne out in other studies along the way, and I'll not take much time and all that, but just to say that Herod was not necessarily a good fella. He opposed a lot of things. He was in power by the Romans and all of those political... Do you ever get discouraged by what's going on in the world today? And you think, "Lord, what is happening? The world's a mess." It's always been a mess ever since our first parents messed us up. They ate us out of house and home. Got kicked out of the garden, been under sin ever since. But, so I just put that little insertion in the message to remind us God's still in control, no matter who's in Washington or in Moscow or any other place. God is working things out. And during those days, there were people that were faithful before God. Here are two listed here, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now they're in their later years. They've been serving God a long time. But I notice verse number 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Didn't say they were perfect. Didn't say they had no problem, but they were doing what was right before God, and they were not to be blamed. They had taken care of their personal relationship with the Lord. You see, some people have the misconception that to be righteous before God means you have no sin, you've never failed, you've lived a perfect life. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because the Bible says all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Now these, in their time of life, were still looking forward to those events that would take care of our sins forever. But they looked back to the Old Testament laws and ordinances here. It says they were blameless, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They did what God revealed to them, the best of their ability, by faith. And let me remind you, no matter what anybody may have told you, the Bible's clear, the just shall live by faith. And it's always been that way. Not everybody in the history of the Bible knew as much as everybody else. Adam and Eve began, and they knew about sin and substitutionary sacrifice. By faith, they came in. And it goes through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, describes many of the faithful men and women in the past and how God worked through their lives. It's not how much you know, it's what you do with what you have. Are you obeying God's revealed truth to you in your life? Zacharias and Elizabeth, it says, were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. So they had the Old Testament. They had all those rules and regulations of life. And if you read through all those things, you say, man, that must have been hard to obey all those rules. And if you read a little more careful, you'd realize nobody could live up to all this. What are you going to do? Well, keep reading. There's a whole bunch of sacrifices involved. And the key thing about those Old Testament sacrifices, not only did they look forward to the fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the Passover, that's sacrificed for our sins forever, but they also reminded everyone that went through those ordinances and commandments of the Lord, you're a sinner, and you need to confess, and you need to receive God's promise of forgiveness by faith. They brought a sacrifice, looking forward to Christ who would fulfill it all in his sacrifice on Calvary. But I think of that and realize how much responsibility they had to just follow the Lord's way in their life. To be righteous before God, you admit your need and you receive his solution. Of course, today that's Jesus Christ, our Savior. Having said all that, they still had some things in their life that weren't perhaps according to their desires, according to the world's expectations. As I read last week, the words of that song, How Should a King Come? Well, people have a whole twisted view of how a king could come instead of how God said he would come. He came, as our brother sang, in a humble birth, to go to that old rugged cross for us. The world looks on kings and rulers by all their pomp and circumstance and all their power, supposed, and their armies and navies, yet Jesus never had any of it. And yet Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth. It says they had no child because she was barren. Now they're old. And you think, well, that happens to some folks. God doesn't grant children to everybody. I remember one of my teachers in college, he used to always tease us. He said, you know, God never granted he and his wife any children, but if you had any questions, they could be sure to tell you how to raise them. Of course, he was kidding us a little bit. But God blessed him. He was a great man. He's teaching the word of God. He's in his 90s now. He still speaks once in a while, preaching the Lord's word. His wife's gone on. But just because you don't get everything the world thinks you should, or maybe everything you want, doesn't mean that God's mad at you. Just has a different plan for your life. And then I noticed he was faithful in doing his job like he always had. There's so much in the Bible about being faithful. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What's it mean to be faithful? Well, surely it means to be full of faith in one sense to believe God, but it also means to be faithful in doing what you're supposed to do. Keep your word. Do your job. Don't become undependable. What would have happened, we never know these what ifs, but what would have happened if Zacharias had called off sick that morning? Say, well, that didn't happen. No, he was faithful. He did it exactly as he always did. And then during that time, something unusual came. He wasn't expecting it. It never happened before. It never happened again. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and gave him a message from God. And then I noticed several things. One of the things I always like to emphasize about this, every time I read in the scripture when an angel of the Lord appears and the people know it's an angel of the Lord, almost the next words are, fear not. Because there's something about real angels that inspires fear. Maybe because they've been in the presence of God. I don't know. Maybe because they're just so awesome and powerful. I mean, they've done amazing things according to Scripture, and it's they're servants of God. But the real angels always begin their message with fear not, because people are afraid. And Zacharias was given, he was troubled, he didn't know what was going on. He said, "Don't fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, thy wife shall bear a son." Now think about this. How long do you think he'd stop praying to have a child? You read his next words, they said, how's that going to happen? I'm old. And my wife, boy, she's been stricken with the old age club, man. She's old too. That's not according to the natural thing. By human experience, I know it's too late for us. But you see, he missed a very important thing. And here's a man that's in the service of the Lord in the house of God who should have known better. Because if you remember, back in the Old Testament, there's a fellow named Abraham and his wife named Sarah, and they had a child when they were old. And God could do that, and he had done that before. He rejuvenated them, I guess, is the way you'd say it. It's so much so that later on when they're traveling, all those kings was always looking after Sarah. She looked young and beautiful, and they were desiring to have her. And Abraham had her lie and said, well, she's my sister. And it's a mess back then. They weren't perfect either. But the point is, Zacharias, as a servant of the Lord in the house of God and had been taught the teachings of the Word of God, ought to have known. If God chooses, he could do that. It's been happening before. But nevertheless, he doubted. And because of that, we read later, the angel said, well, because you didn't believe me, you're not going to be able to talk about it until it happens. You're going to be struck dumb. You're not going to be able to speak until it happens. A little bit shocking, but you went, well, why would he punish him for that? Because, see, he had the opportunity, and he should have known better. It had happened before. God expects us to use the truths that we've been entrusted with in our lives and follow God's leading in our walk as well. I think of that by way of application, looking at America. We have had many years of free availability of the Word of God and the message of Christ. And it's sad to see these days as many are turning away. And I'm always reminded of the warning in Romans chapter 1, where he said, they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and they became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. And it goes on to describe the destruction, the de-evolution of society. And it's exactly what we're seeing today, isn't it? Turning away from what they knew. Well, God expects us to live by faith and to go forth. And then he receives a promise that this one that would become their son would be named John. He would have the fulfillment of the prophecy. It describes all that. I'll not go into great detail there. But God had a great plan to use this son. It was all recording in scriptures. And Zacharias should have been familiar with that. So he was reprimanded for his lack of believing the promise. So that is a warning to us, believers. Church folks, God expects you to take by faith what you've been taught and to go forward. Now we have another situation later on here that we read about. Another person was confronted with a similar message and also questions it and is not reprimanded. Why is that? Well, one thing, she's not a priest in the house of God. But the other thing, what God had told Zacharias was possible. It just wasn't normal. It wasn't often happening, but it had happened before. But what that angel said to Mary never happened before, and it never happened again. Because it was God's unique revelation of himself to us in this world. And you see that in the story. So it depends how much you have to what you're responsible for. Too much is given, much is required. Wonder how we stand before God, the things that we have received individually as people in this world. Some of us have heard the word of God all our years almost, coming up in church with our family. Some have gotten saved later years, maybe don't have as much, but you still know enough that you ought to fear God and obey him. And you ought to serve the Lord and share the gospel with them along the way. Zacharias came out. They knew something had happened. They thought he'd seen a vision. He had to beckon to him with his hand. Later on, it says he used some sign language. Did you know that? The first person to sign, at least in the Bible, was this man who was not able to speak because of his doubting God's great promise to him. But it came to pass, and he went back, and Elizabeth hid herself, and she was excited about it. Verse 25, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. And it reminds me back of what that angel said to Zacharias earlier in my reading, thy prayer is heard. Now, as I said before, I think they probably stopped praying that prayer a long time ago, but God still remembered it. You see, God hears our prayers. And though he doesn't answer them when we may desire it, he will answer. Maybe not say yes. Maybe he'll say no. Maybe he'll say later. But you shouldn't doubt that God is cognizant and interested in your prayers. Doesn't matter if you don't get what you think you need now. Trust him. He who knows us best loves us most. He will give us what is good and right and proper. And he had reserved a unique place for this couple to be the parents of John the Baptist, who in the power of Elias to proclaim the coming of the Lord. He is a great man. In fact, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there has not been born of woman one greater than John. That's pretty high praise from the Lord God, the Son on earth. John, he's an important person, and Zacharias and Elizabeth were chosen to bring him into this world. And there was some responsibility with it. He's not to drink the wine. He was to be a Nazarite from his birth. That means they separated themselves in their diet, and then they didn't cut their hair and all that stuff. Involved in showing their dedication to God only. For this man from his mother's womb. Later on we'll read that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That's not a normal situation either. God used this man in a great way. It was an honor. And Elizabeth was excited. Don't give up on God. Don't get discouraged because your prayers aren't answered when you want them. God will hear and answer us according to his will. And I believe God reserves the best for them that give him the opportunity to provide it. But you know, some people try to go ahead and help God out. Well, God promised Abram and Sarah to have a child, and they're getting old. They say, it's not happening. You know what? Maybe he wants us to help, so we'll just bring in this girl named Hagar. She's my servant. It's legal in our culture for a servant to bring forth a child to the master and the lady. And so they went according to the customs of the world and brought forth a son. And God said, oh, no, that's not my promise. That's your work. And what has Ishmael done for us? What has been the result of that son born of Hagar? Trouble ever since. Because God doesn't need us to do his work. He needs us to do what he's told us to do. I like to say it this way. God will not do for you what he's told you to do for him. But neither does he expect us to do what he's promised to do for us. That's the problem with people who want to earn their way to heaven. They want to do good works. They want to feel like I've merited my place in glory because I do this and that and the other. And no, it's by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. God has provided for us. So Elizabeth receives the answer to her prayer much later than she expected. It reminds me in Luke chapter 18 where Jesus told that story about the unjust judge that finally answered the request of the woman who kept knocking on his door and kept asking him for justice, said, "I don't fear God, I don't regard people, but this woman's going to wear me out." So for importunity, he just kept on asking, and he said, "Hear what that man says. Shall not God also answer his people?" And then he says this mysterious thing, "Yea, he will answer them speedily, though he bear long with them." You say, what? How can it be speedy if it takes a long time? Because he answers as soon as he knows we're ready to receive it. You know, our time is not his time. We need to trust the Lord and do good, and verily thou shalt be fed. So she received that, and it was exciting. In the sixth month, the angel came to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Of course, this obviously makes it clear she was pure. She'd not violated her purity and any misbehavior before. And this word espoused, some people would try to replace it with our modern word of engagement, but doing that would miss part of the point, because their espousals was a whole lot more binding than our engagements. In our culture, if you get engaged, you can break it off with a word. But if you remember Joseph, when he was found out a little bit later that Mary was with child, he thought on these things. He was minded to put her away privately. That means to divorce her. Well, they weren't married yet. Well, they were promised. See, the espousal was a legally binding agreement for a marriage. And to break it, you had to be divorced in their custom, in their way. It was a very serious thing. But she was of the house of David, and so was Joseph. That's pretty important, because Jesus is of the line of David. He's the one to fulfill those promises given in the Old Testament to the lion of the tribe of Judah, and all those things come in. And then he said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And then she was troubled at his sight. He said, "Fear not, Mary. Thou hast found favor with God." What a blessing. Adulation here, and notice this. She, again, wasn't perfect. It wasn't planned. She didn't spend all those years, "Oh, I hope I'll be the one to bring the Savior in the world." She didn't know any of that. God chose her and revealed it to her at the right time. And then he gave her that promise, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son, shalt call his name Jesus." And then he quotes all these fulfillment of promises. Maybe she'd heard some of them up in her religious teachings in those days. She was not a priest or anything, but they're all based on scripture. I'll not take time to reference them all, but what a promise given her of her child. Think about that. To be told aforetime by the angel of God that your son will be the son of the highest, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Oh, what a wonderful promise. But then the impossibility comes before us. So how can that be? I know not a man. I'm not married. I haven't had relationships. I know how it works. And it's not going to work that way. He said, no. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. This is unique. This has never been done before and ever again. The power of the highest, and that one that be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived in her old age. And so that statement in verse 37 was illustrated both by the promise to her and the fulfillment of the promise to Elizabeth, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And then the greatest words of faith. And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She said, "All right, I'll take it." By faith. Can you imagine all the slurs they endured, even in the life of our Savior? The Pharisees criticized, "Well, we know where we're from. We don't know where you're from. We don't know who your father is." And all that criticism of their lives all those years. But she took it by faith. See, what God would do, man couldn't understand, but God would fulfill it. And what a wonderful time. Later, we're going to finish the story with the events as they came to pass. But again, I emphasize, God uses people. Whether you're young, as Mary was, or you're old, as Elizabeth and Zacharias were, God can use you, but it's by faith and his plan. And there's a reprimand for doubting him, and a blessing for receiving it, but God still uses us either way. Aren't you glad he didn't just, well, Zacharias, you don't like it? Fine, I'll find something. No, it doesn't work that way. The gifts and calling of God without repentance. I'm so thankful that God saves us. We don't do it ourselves. We'd mess it up. But God does a good job, and he fulfills his promises. And so the promises were made and fulfilled. The angel of the Lord was involved, revealing God's will to men, and they accepted it, and God blessed them. And we receive the glory today, even as our Savior came into this world. Praise God for all that. Let's stand together as we have invitation.